Hello and welcome. Today is Monday, October 29th, 2018, and you are listening to Review After Watching. We are a weekly podcast where three generations of a single family get together, watch some movies, and then let you know if you should spend a portion of your precious time and money to go and see them. I'm your host, Brandon Church, and this week, Jonah Hill decided to take us on a journey back in time to an era I'm personally familiar with in his writing and directorial debut, mid-90s. And you know what they say, sometimes things should stay buried in the past. Will this movie end up being the film equivalent of a fashion faux pas? We will let you know. Also this week, Gerard Butler is doing what Gerard Butler does. Sometimes butt needs kicking, and he's the perfect Scottish man pretending to be an American, does it? This time he's the captain of a submarine saving the Russian president from a coup in the movie Hunter Killer. He's already saved the American president, but we know that's not enough for him. But will it be enough for us? Can he save us from this boredom? Well, let's find out. But before we go into that, as always, let me introduce the rest of the Raw crew, starting with Joshua.
Hey guys, how you doing out there? Salute.
All right, and next up is Chris Sr.
Hey, how's everybody? How have you been?
Oh, we back, guys. We back. Oh, I know you guys were all missing us. You were wondering, like, where did my podcast go? I can't get through the week without my podcast. But we're back. We are so sorry that we were unable to record last week. It was one of those crazy situations where a lot of things happened all at once, and they were all negative. Josh had car troubles. Same time, my daughter got super sick, and she has asthma, so that required us going to urgent care and getting nebulizers and all kinds of stuff. And then Dad had his own troubles. So it was just like all these things happened at one time, and we were just unable.
Murphy's Law, man. But yeah. We're back again. And we're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to touch on Halloween a little bit real quick to make sure you guys get our perspective on that film. So
yeah, so that was the movie we were going to review last week, was Halloween.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a chance to get to
really
it.
Really sorry we missed that. Really did.
Y'all stepping on the intro now. You stepping on it.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, man. I'm excited. We've been a week off.
I'm trying to apologize.
You know, I got all this angst inside of me, but go ahead.
We're apologizing, continue. Too.
I was gonna throw it to you and let you apologize in your own time. Now you gotta apologize to me.
Sometimes you gotta play catch by yourself, man. I don't know.
I was stuck in the '90s. The two movies we saw this week, everything's in the '90s.
Wait, no. Hunter Killer was not in the '90s.
But so Red October was a '90s movie, so we just saw same movie twice.
All right. Well, anyway, that's what happened. Like I said, we all had craziness, and then I ended up getting sick, and so it didn't work out. So we were unable to record last week. So we are very sorry. As you can tell, these guys are anxious to get into our reviews. So, but before we get into that, I want to talk and, you know, kind of catch up. So for the past 2 weeks, how's everything gone? Josh, you had mechanical troubles with your car. Did that get fixed?
Yeah, so my car broke down a little bit, but I finally got it fixed. I was panicking, overthinking a little bit. I thought it was my starter, but it always comes back down to the battery. And so I got the battery changed, and I'm ready to go. I was able to make my appointments, go to work. So other than that, you know, it was cheaper than the cost I thought it was going to be. So I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. All right. I don't know about y'all, but I'm in a good mood. I thought I was going to drop like $800 on this car, but I didn't. So I'm happy.
That's good.
I was. I don't know what you're talking about.
Always start with the basics, son. Always start with the basics.
I checked the spark plugs. I don't know what you're talking about.
You got to check that battery. Check that battery.
I should have.
Get it. If it jumps, you got a good shot to go.
Yeah. Well, with me, my daughter is fine. She had bad asthma when she gets colds. Just the allergies make it even worse. And so we were able to get everything for her. And so she's perfectly fine. Back to normal, as she should be. But of course, when she gets sick and I'm taking care of her, I end up catching whatever cold she had. And so I was out of commission for a couple of days. So I was trying to. Josh had recorded his own review of Halloween, and he sent it to me, and I had it, and I was queuing it up, and I was trying to do my own review, but it was sounding horrible. It was not coming out right, and I was too sick to try to edit, so we missed a week. I'm sorry, guys. But speaking of nasally voices, Dad, you sounding like get some allergies going on.
Oh, man, I had a relapse. Doctor tried to kill me. See this shirt I got on? This was originally white. This is now burgundy because all the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had a little relapse. Different things were happening. Makes me stuffy again. I got all this cotton and stuff jammed in my sinuses and in my nose and all kind of stuff. But forgive me, people, for sounding like this. I hope to be better by next week. But you're real excited to be back.
You're a lot better than you sounded.
Yeah, you do. You sound pretty good.
Yeah, last time.
Before, I was like, who is this man talking over the phone?
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was out of here, but I came back.
And it's not nearly like when you first got out, like it was packed up both nostrils. It was much bigger. And you said that they did that again, but it doesn't look anything like that.
No, no. Remove some. It was really bad. No, it was packed up. It looked like I had been in a fight with Muhammad Ali.
Mm. Is that sides. String hanging out your nose like a tampon?
Wow.
That's exactly what it is. It's a tampon I jammed up my nose.
Mm. All right. Well, I mean. You still on the antibiotics or anything like that?
Yeah. We're still on all of that, still fighting all of that, but we'll make it through. We'll make it through.
I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah, sounds like you're doing better.
I'm glad you're here with us this week.
It's better to be on this side of the dirt than the other side.
Can't argue with
that
you more.
That is very true.
Dropping facts right there.
Also, the good thing is that you were able to see both movies this week.
Oh.
Both of them.
Yeah, that kind of killed me.
That's the first time, man. High five, buddy.
That's not a first time. Be quiet.
But I mean, like, he did it for y'all people. Like, you hear him.
For you, the honorable listeners.
No, he sat down twice in a theater
for y'all. In a theater for you. I mean, he's doing the hard work.
You have no idea. I mean, my nose was running. I had a stack of paper towels out of the bathroom trying to watch these movies.
No, I'm serious. I know when we were talking on the phone, you were explaining about how it kept, you know, dripping and all that stuff.
Wearing a face mask. I'm scaring little kids.
You know, I'm poking fun, but like, I'm legit surprised that you were able to see both. That's really cool.
I didn't think you would be able to.
Yeah. It's a miracle we're able to pull it off. Got to see both of them. So, excited to be back. We'll get rolling with this. Sorry I missed my Halloween review, but we'll do it another time.
I got you. Don't worry.
We're going to do the Halloween review. Right now. So because we didn't get a chance, like Josh said earlier, to talk about it last week, we wanted to give you guys a little taste of what we thought of the film. I know it's a little late, but
it's a sample.
You know, you got to know what we thought. I mean, you don't actually have an opinion until we give you one.
No, like don't think I got you guys.
Nah, we're joking, but we did want to let you guys know because when I listened to Josh's little review that he sent me, he had some thoughts, some opinions. So I wanted to definitely talk about that. So let's just jump into that one right now. Let's just jump into it.
All right, okay. I'm just gonna go. So for these Halloween movies. Context-wise, like I'm not a fan of the older films. So going into this one, it's been so long since I've seen the previous one. I was like, I'm going to see what, you know, the film does differently.
So hold on. When you say a fan of the older films, like how many of them have you seen?
Okay, so I'm a fan of the Rob Zombie's remakes. I just like...
Those are the only ones?
Yeah, pretty much. Even though the first Halloween remake from Rob Zombie's like almost like a scene for scene as the original ones.
Yeah.
Like they just added like his... history as a kid into it,
yeah.
Giving you a little bit more in context. But the old ones, you know, the first, what's the main actress's name?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, hers, don't really care for.
They're old.
I know. So going to this one and finally having a sequel to movies that come from like 20 to 30 years ago, interesting take. Mm-hmm. Didn't think this series would go that way. Continue the story that we set it off with. So when I was watching the film, I was kind of interested because the trailer, if you guys have you seen it, it kind of leads up to the point where Jamie Lee Curtis is fighting back. And for a slasher film, that's kind of a new perspective. Like, you not have the cliche, you know, there's always like a fight or flight mentality when you approach with that type of danger. And for scary films, it's always like a flight.
Well, no,
position.
There's always that guy who tries to fight and then he gets like killed in 2 seconds.
Yeah, because he's like drunk or high. Like, he don't got it. But this whole setup is like a fight mentality. It's not flight. You're not running away from the battle no more. So from like a scary movie perspective to start that off from the front, like she's been training for years.
Yeah.
It's not like she's
She was a fighter before, yeah, but now you're saying she's a hunter.
Well, yeah, she's a predator. They're both kind of predator. Kind of like, did a monster made another monster? And that's kind of like the theme that this movie kind of deals with, guys. It's like, how does Jamie Lee Curtis adapt to regular society after experiencing these horrors, you know? And she becomes more isolated, secluded, and she deals with her PTSD through aggression, whether it be guns and planning. So I thought that was an interesting take on the film. Now, I feel that if you're a fan of the series, you guys are going to really enjoy it. I think there's a lot of callbacks to the first two films from 20 or 30 years ago that you guys will get. And I think you guys may be satisfied with the conclusion, I guess, of the tale they started then.
Well,
for my take, didn't do anything for me. I'm okay.
Did you ever see the original two?
I did.
What I he said there's callbacks, but you didn't see them, you said.
I mean, let's call, like, there's iconic scenes, right? So, in the original films, well, Jamie Lee Curtis is at school, right? And she looks outside the window and sees Michael Myers. They did the same scene with Jamie Lee Curtis as an old woman.
That's true.
I know the iconic scenes, guys. I'm right there with you.
But did you see the movie?
I seen the movies. Don't really care for the movies.
The movie was great.
Huh?
First movie was fantastic.
The first one? Oh, Jesus. Okay. I mean,
okay, go ahead.
I mean, so that's my take on the film. I feel like they have a great there's a one-shot scene in the film. I'm a sucker for one-shot scenes, guys. That's just me. I like the idea that the actors, the crew, all have to hit these marks to do a continuous shot for 10 to 15 minutes. That I like those things. And they do it in this film, and I think they nailed it. So that was cool. I think the actor, Michael Myers, he has presence. He, you know, there's some suspenseful moments in this film where I was just kind of thinking to myself, I kind of just wanted to end. Like, the suspense is killing me. But overall, I don't know, man. This film, it's not for me. What do you think, Brandon? Like, I like to dive in for a little bit more, but what's your takeaway?
Well, just to go back to what you mentioned about the plot, I thought it was smart for them to do this the way they did. The problem that the Halloween series has had as time has gone on is that they've delved too much into the supernatural. See, so Halloween was always different from Freddy Krueger and Jason because it was just about a guy who liked killing people. It was just like a normal serial killer type story. But then they started diving into the supernatural. He could never be killed. He went like 30 years, all this stuff. And it got away from what it originally was, right? It's not some supernatural guy or a ghost. And so it's actually Jason and Freddy are kind of both ghosts.
A little bit. They kind of made Jason that way. But I get you.
Well,
that.
Jason was a kid.
Halloween is just like just a regular guy on a rampage.
Yeah. And so at the end of Halloween 1, he gets arrested, right? And that was good.
Right.
And so what they did with this movie is like he was in jail this whole time.
Yeah.
And showing how it affected the survivors was a really nice touch because she would have PTSD. She would be traumatized from this experience. And it might make her just so paranoid all the time that she had like 15, 20 locks on her door.
Yeah.
Like multiple security screens. She had gates and fences and guns. She was like always on edge thinking someone's going to come after her. And that made sense. And it, you know, made her distant from her daughter. And it just kind of ruined her life. She had a bunch of failed marriages after that.
It
worked.
I agree. With the setup for the film, the premise is a good idea. But how they executed it, my friend.
Well, I'm gonna explain
into it.
So when Michael gets out, as we obviously know he does.
Yeah.
What I liked about it, right, is they in the trailer, they try to set it up like, oh, Michael's coming after her for revenge.
Yeah.
But he's not. Like, Michael Myers is doing what Michael Myers does. He just kills. He got out, and he just started killing people.
Yeah.
Like, I was counting all the deaths. There's over a dozen deaths. I know exactly the number, but I don't want to say. And he just is killing. So, like, the whole time, people are like, oh, he's coming after you. He's coming after you. Nah. He's just, first dude that came to him, he killed him. He's walking. He finds some other people. He kills him. He goes to a neighborhood, sees people, kills him. He's not, like, following a plan. He's just a killer. And so, but what everybody around him is so concerned that he's going to come after her that somehow or another he ends up going towards them.
Yeah.
It's not like he went after her.
Yeah, he's a beast unleashed. And that was the thing wrestling in the head of Michael Myers. Why is he killing? Is there like a deep motive behind
it? And that's why Michael Myers is
awesome. So for you, you don't think there is a motive. He's just
no. If you look at every time he kills somebody, it's never. That's why I liked him as a villain because it's never out of anger. It's never personal. He's like
just a killer.
He's just curious.
Yeah.
Like when he kills people, he kind of cocks his head like a dog. Like, huh? That's interesting. And he does it again.
He's detached from everything,
and he seems to be more interested in people's reactions to being attacked and how they respond than anything else. Like before he kills people, he sees how they beg for their lives, or he sees how they're screaming. He's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I don't know what it is. And they kept it so you never see his face. You only see the back of his head.
That's true.
You see, like, I think one side kind of.
You see he's an old white dude.
Yeah, but you can tell it from the hair and everything.
Yeah.
And once he gets the mask on, man, he doesn't speak. And it's really fascinating because he doesn't feel pain. Like, he gets shot multiple times and he's just like, whatever. You know, he just kind of rolls with everything. And yeah. So that's intimidating because it doesn't matter what you do. It seems like it doesn't have any impact. And so when he does finally meet up and the situation happens, it was, I don't know, it was really interesting because you felt his power, how powerful he was throughout the whole movie. And you didn't see how anybody could actually take him down because he had been hit. He had been hurt and he just kept coming.
I see. I got an opposite with you. When he got hit, I realized that he can be taken down. And there's key moments in this film, you know, where the predator becomes the prey.
Yeah.
And kind of stuff. So, and you kind of, I felt, you know, from those scenes, Michael realized that he's being hunted too. Like he has cognitive, like he's not just like blindly killing somebody.
There's he's just not stupid. There's
a method to it. So he's realizing that, you know, he's like being targeted and being hunted down. And he does like what any creature would do for self-preservation in those instances.
No, because he doesn't walk away. Like, he gets injured, he's just like, whatever, he keeps coming. It's not like he's in a corner and deciding to strike back.
I'm on self-preservation. Like, he's not just walking into the room blindly chasing somebody. Like, he's quiet. Like, he's checking corners. He's looking.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's aware of what's going on. It's like it's like thought.
Yeah, he sets traps for sure.
I mean, I'm glad that, so overall, did you like the film? Because
I did.
Because I could have gone without it. I thought the premise was good, and I feel like there's not, the dialogue is kind of cheesy. The pacing was kind of all over the place. But who's looking for that in this type of film?
The dialogue I didn't care about. It was serviceable. It wasn't cringy. And pacing I thought was actually really good. I liked that they were slower with it.
Well, I feel like they sped up a couple of scenes a little bit more than I would like. But that, for these films, when I go to a horror film, I kind of focus on suspense, thriller, and just how people would react to those situations.
Sure.
And I feel like they dropped the ball sometimes on the suspense. I think the reactions from people, they did fairly well. They reacted normally, some of them. But other than that, I could have done without the film. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I think if you're a fan of the series, you're going to love this film. I feel like if you want traditionally what you see from Halloween, it's going to hit every mark for you guys. And it's going to give you that conclusion. If so, go see the film if you're a fan. So if Halloween's for you, it's for you. If you're a newcomer coming into the series, you might want to watch the first two films before this because it's not going to mean anything to you.
Well, don't watch, like, if you're going to watch the Rob Zombie ones, only watch the first one, I guess. Don't watch Halloween 2 because they retcon that. Like, Halloween 2...
It's different.
Well, yeah, not only is it different, but they make it seem like he's related to Jamie Lee Curtis's character. And that happened in Halloween 2, the original as well.
Okay.
And they cut that. Like, he's no longer related to her. He's just a guy.
A random guy.
Yeah.
Aren't there like 14 iterations of this movie?
Oh, man, they've done so many of them, right? Like,
Halloween H2O.
That was the 20-year anniversary, and that was years ago. So who knows how long this is.
I mean, this literally made her career after.
Yeah, that's why. And actually, they weren't going to make this movie unless she agreed to be in it, and she did. And that's why I liked it, because it is so different. It was gory, but it wasn't over the top gory, and they didn't have a lot.
And I mean, I don't think the film is different, my friend. I think it's the same movie. I feel like it's the same Halloween movie I've seen throughout my entire life. I love that they upped the gore from the originals and kept that Rob Zombie feel. Because that's why I like Rob Zombie's.
It was a middle ground. It was a mix between the Rob Zombie remake and the original.
Yeah, but like, it's the same film, brother. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it was the same film, but all scary movie. But Halloween stands apart.
But I'm talking about, like, they even, like, the kills are like all echoes from the original.
For sure.
So, like, it's not even new, like, kills or situations that you're dealing with. It's an echo of the original films.
But a lot of people didn't see. But anyway, what I like about it is it's not like The Nun. Or there's other scary movies that we see. It stands apart. It's because it's not supernatural, it feels different.
I mean, I give you that. It's not a supernatural film, so it's like, I mean, I like that grounded in the reality, because, like, how do you fight the supernatural? There's always a curse. There's always a relic
always
that you have
demon,
to find.
Yeah.
Or
some, like, how body do you got to burn or something.
But this guy is just, no, I'm just a regular human being, and I'm coming at you. So it definitely has a more grounded premise. And I think that's cool, and that's great, but I stand for my position. Like, you know, I don't think you've seen anything new in this film. It's an echo from what we've always seen in Halloween films, and I feel like they could do something better. And I think they have a cool take on it, with the fight mentality. And that's something that you don't see in scary movies a lot. So I think for returning viewers, you're going to see a different type of Halloween and approach that way. And for the casual viewer too, man, just, you know, it's a cool way to see that kind of film. But
It's doing well. Everybody who's seeing it casually, because, you know, a lot of the, I mean, in my theater, kids, people were screaming. They're like,
really?
Oh, my God, don't do that. Oh, you stupid. They were getting into it. Like, I didn't find it as frightening or suspenseful as a lot of people in the theater with me did, but they were into it. Like, they were like, some dude, I forgot where, but one scene early on, this guy screamed out, oh, real loud. Like, he got super scared.
It was funny.
Everybody started cracking up, and it kind of released the tension, but I didn't feel it like some people did. I think it does work for newcomers, and I think it does work for fans of the franchise. I don't know how diehard fans are going to be. I don't know how many there are. I'm sure they exist, but I think it's a good middle ground. I think it's a good introduction to the series as well. You don't need to know what happened before. They tell you enough.
Oh, man, I feel like in this film, there's so many cathartic moments that I think for viewers are supposed to have with the protagonist. I think you need to see the previous films. Like, it didn't do anything for me.
You think you could get by just seeing the first film and the last one?
Well, you mean the first film and this one?
Yeah. Yeah. Just those two together.
So, well, you have to, because like this one basically gets rid of everything else.
Yeah. So I'll agree with that.
And that's when I was thinking about it. It was, I hate the naming of this movie, because if you want to do that, they're both called Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween.
Like, there's no, like,
1979.
No, it's not like Halloween. It's just like,
yeah,
that's annoying. But
I mean, it fits it well, man. It goes to my theory. It's an echo of the first film.
Yeah. But it sounds like Josh enjoyed it, but didn't think it was that great. And I liked it a little bit more.
I don't think it's great for newcomers. I think it's great if you're a fan of the series. I'm not.
Well, would you genuinely be scared if you've never seen any of them?
Scared, no.
Scared?
I
don't think it's a scary film. There's suspenseful moments.
Take you on a thrill ride.
It's just enjoyable to watch. It's kind of hard to describe.
If you didn't know what was going on, does it take you on a ride? Get your adrenaline pumping. Get that tension going
There's some tension.
Where you're waiting for something to happen.
Sometimes, yeah. But it wasn't like, I don't know. It's not like super, you're not like gripping your armrest. It's not scary where you're jumping out of your seat. There's no jump scares and stuff. It's just.
No, it's suspenseful.
Yeah.
And that's like the best way. And it's like, there's a scene. I mean, it's minor spoilers, but it's a scene where it's that fight mentality with Jamie Lee Curtis, like, gun, and she, like, in the house where Michael's at, and she's hunting him down. And that means she's going room by room looking for him. And that's a suspense. Like, she's just like,
yeah,
got the gun loaded, and she's going room by room looking for him. And that's suspenseful because, like, where is this man going to come from?
It's suspenseful because you know that
you're waiting for
trap.
This collision to happen.
Well, you know he set a trap because he's leaving clues, and you know that's what he does. And so you're like, who's going to win this encounter? So that's where the suspense comes in. But like in the other things, like he just kills people. He doesn't even hesitate.
He never did.
But I mean, like, no, like,
I mean, it's a little bit different because I think that's more Rob Zombie take on it too. It's like and those like scenes where he's just going around killing people. It's not like a build up. It's not like a build up scene. He's just like murdering.
And that's what it's just random. Like,
yeah,
just random, completely like people. You just, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it sounds like we both think that you should check it out. People should check it out. If you're fans, I think you should check it out, period. But Josh may be more hesitant to say period. I guess if you're a fan, check it out in the theater. And if you're not, wait.
Yeah, I would say go see like A Star Is Born over this movie or First Man.
I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff I would say see over this movie.
I'm just saying, you got options at the theater and you want to spend your buck wisely. The stuff that was released earlier this month that is worth the money.
You know this is going to make a ton of money, right?
Oh, it already has.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the profit margins is ridiculous.
It's doing gangbusters right now, straight up. So, all right. So that's our take on that. We were trying to get through that quickly, but it took a little bit longer. So now we're going to jump into this week's movies. First one that we've all seen, we can all talk about. I think first we're going to jump into Hunter Killer, the Gerard Butler film.
S.S. Sparta.
So if you don't know what this movie is about, if you haven't seen the trailer, Gerard Butler plays a captain of a submarine who was tasked with going to Russia, essentially, to rescue a the Russian president who has been kidnapped and kind of the victim of a coup. That's what the trailer shows. And it's really the tension of like those two countries. How are we going to do this? What's going on? And are they going to be able to make their way out? There's a lot of things stacked against them. And we're just trying to see how they're going to navigate these waters. No pun intended. And so to start off with the film, like I said, Gerard Butler's been doing all kinds of stuff like this. Like he saved. Well, first of all, he's Scottish. He's playing this American dude.
This is the second president he saved.
Exactly. First of all,
he's the Russian president.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because he did what was it? White House has fallen or whatever it was. Yeah. Olympus has fallen.
And then London.
London has fallen. Saved the president and somebody else. I think it was the prime minister. And now, they're doing a third one of that too. I saw it today. I was looking at it. I forgot what it's called. There's a third one of those fallen ones. But he's always playing these American guys, and he's like, he's going to Scottish accent. But he never pulls it out.
This is a very weird movie because it does remind me of The Hunt for Red October. It's nowhere as good as The Hunt for
Red
October.
It's not even the plot of Hunt for Red October,
though. No, but basically you've got a, where Alec Baldwin was saving the Russian captain.
Alec Baldwin was Russian in that movie, right?
No, he was the American NSA agent.
No, Sean Connery.
Connery was the Russian.
Yeah, he was the
Russian. You had another Scottish actor. They had a Russian submarine captain.
Yeah.
And the roles are kind of reversed. Now you got a Scottish actor playing an American captain going to save the Russian president and a Russian captain. It's very weird.
It was plot wise, it's what you expect. It's just an action film, and they haven't done a sub one in a long time, right? It's not The Hunt for Red October. It's not U571, but we haven't had one in a long time.
And it's got the typical sub scenes in it, you know. One of their torpedoes falls off the rack it always does in every movie. It always traps a guy. The water
every time
in.
The water's coming. He's drowning. Know, like,
is a guy going to survive? Or is he going to make it?
Yeah.
A couple of things about this movie. I mean, it's an interesting little storyline in that, without giving away too much, how the Russian president gets involved in this and why we're trying to rescue him. But other than that, it was kind of fiddly. I thought Common was really stiff. If you watch him in the movie as he's standing, talking, delivering his lines, he's bouncing left to right, right to right, like he's going to rap. He's trying to find his rhythm. He's not really, really acting really well in the movie.
Yeah, he did not do a good job.
So it's not just me. I was wondering if, like, I'm just seeing Common in this.
What it is he was trying to be this military guy, and he just doesn't know how to pull that off.
It's like you when you get nervous. It's like he's pacing left to right when he's standing.
First of all, that is not like me at all. Like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
You do that pacing, but he's rocking from left to right while he's delivering his lines. And it's very irritating because it's like he's trying to find the rhythm, like he's getting ready to go rap these lines instead of just deliver them.
Man, hip hop is in his soul, okay? He couldn't help it.
I never felt
found
like he
the
was
going
to rap. You have like this old man view of rap. Yeah. You just bounce from side to side.
I feel like he was trying to be like this.
If you watch him, he's in rhythm. He's swaying. It's like a pendulum. As he's talking back and forth, go back, rewatch those scenes.
I'm not going to watch this movie. But what happened was he was trying to be this military commander, this straight-laced guy. So he was trying to do these, like, you know how they do those turns, you know, when they're in drills and stuff like that?
He was standing straight. He wasn't turning.
But I think he was trying to evoke that type of feel, but he doesn't.
Which forced him to pivot from left to right, right to left. He's bouncing on the heels of his feet. You could clearly see it in the movie. You cannot miss this guy swinging left to right like a pendulum.
Common over here two-stepping.
Like he's catching his rhythm. A one and a two. Here we go. And
that's
it's
hilarious.
A D to the beat.
It's definitely not his best shine in a movie at all.
And I think it was a terrible underuse of
Gary Oldman.
Oh, that's your favorite actor, right?
That guy, he's a very serious, very good actor.
I was so surprised he was in it. I was like, wow, you paycheck, man.
I don't even remember seeing his name on the
on the cover.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I will say something about, because I feel like we're all about to trash this movie. I'll say something that I like about this film. I like the perspective that there's a land operation and a sea operation going concurrently. I haven't seen that too many times in films. Like, basically, I forget the actor's name, but if you watch the show Black Sails, he is Captain Flint. And he's in the film, and he's leading a squad. And I mean, I saw the movie. I watched the show.
Talking about the guy from the Game of Thrones.
I'm talking about from Black Sails.
The guy with the red beard. Is he Game of Thrones? He's one of the guys that was out there in the wilderness.
Who?
Oh, is he one of the wildlings?
Yeah, he's one of the wildlings. Yeah, he's one of the guys. Yeah,
no, not the big red beard guy. Not the one.
No. I think he might be. He's actually in it.
To me, he's Captain Flint. And as soon as he had his own squad. There was bad news. Have you seen Black Sails, the TV show?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Captain Flint is a bastard. That's who he is. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But he's in the film, guys. So basically, you got two teams working concurrently in the film. You got the sub mission and the land mission. So, and they both need to be successful for the operation to succeed. And that was pretty cool. I don't see that in many films. Like, I always see, like, the Marine trying to get back to base. You know, I never seen, like, a whole operation from a military perspective, from the iTech guys to the land guys to the sea. So I thought that was a cool perspective to take with the film. I wish that was kind of promoted in the film a little bit more. I guess they had, like, two.
No, I know who you're. I was the whole time, because he looks like the dude from, what is that show? Oh, my gosh. Life. Remember that show? He was also in Homeland.
Oh, yeah, the actor from Homeland?
He kind of looks like him. Yeah. A little bit, right? I think it's the red hair. But no, it's not. But he's also, if you've seen the new Lost in Space on Netflix.
Yeah.
He's the dad. I forget. He's not Will
Robinson.
This man is forever Captain Flint, and he's a bastard.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's Captain Flint. Stop hitting the table.
Have you seen Black Sails?
No, I have not seen
it. Oh, then you guys don't even know what happens in the film, like the lies. See, okay. Anyways, going back to Hunter Killer, that's the only thing I like about the film. It's like the two perspectives that got going on. It was a cliche. I mean, if you had never seen a submarine movie before, there's so many old ones that I think are better.
Yeah, I mean, like, as a submarine movie, it didn't have the tension for me. It got a little bit more at the end, but not really. Like all the other submarine movies that we talk about, like U-571, Hunt for Red October, the tension wasn't. Outside of the sub, it was what's going on in the sub. How are they going to make it through this?
Yeah.
I didn't get that so much in this film. All the tension to me was like, how is this going to play out? You know, like, are we going to be able to attack? Or are we going to be able to do this? Or that was where it lied. And it was whatever. I didn't, because I felt like there were so many other ways that they could solve this problem. And they never did. And I never understood why. Right? So the movie's about a coup. One of the Minister of Defense. Like, basically kidnaps the Russian president. He's like, I'm going to start a war because, like, then everybody will follow me. That's basically the plot, right? So we're like, oh, we're going to go rescue him because whatever. But I didn't understand why our president couldn't communicate with Russia.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking in the film, too. It's like, why we collect, at some point, they collected enough evidence to show that there was a coup being performed. So why can we talk to any Russian officials to be like, hey, we're not trying to attack you. Your president is being held hostage. If you don't believe us, try to get him on the phone. I bet you can't get him on the phone. You know why? Because he's kidnapped. All right? You got to send some people over there ahead of this.
But like, even if he kept telling all the other generals and everybody in the party, like, oh, he's indisposed, there's lines of succession. You can't just... Oh, the president's not available right now. Everybody is kind of cool.
There was that one sentence dialogue in the film. It's like Russian law dictates if the president is indisposed, it all falls down to like the head general.
Only in the time of
the defense minister.
I know, and so that's why the defense.
But that's
minister
why it was important
to stop the war.
But he hadn't
started the war. The missiles and everything.
Well, he was trying to.
But because it hadn't started yet, because war hadn't been officially been declared, that means he didn't have that power. Which
means nobody,
somebody else they could have talked
to. Yeah, that's why in the entire Russian country didn't know anything was happening yet. He was trying to start a war.
I know.
So once the war was started, they were trying to contact the president, and they'd be like, the president, we don't know where he's at, but I'll make the calls.
It was just weird.
But, like, that whole conversation could have been skipped if we just contacted somebody from Russia.
Yeah, because, like, if we're not at war and the president's gone, you talk to whoever's next, and it's not the defense minister.
Yeah, it's somebody.
So you talk to somebody in Moscow and be like, hey, this situation is happening. Here's what we have. And then they deal with it internally. Now, I understand all of this happened in, like, the course of one day.
Yeah, this was all happening very fast.
I mean, it's 12 hours, but we have the evidence. Like, if our president gets kidnapped.
Yeah, we literally had video footage of him being held at gunpoint.
Send him the footage and be like, be like, all right.
Is that not enough?
So, yeah, have, like, the vice president of Russia, whoever's next in line, to call the president to get somebody on the phone.
But we didn't know how vast the conspiracy went.
But they figured that out, though.
No, no. We do that because we were hearing two sides of the conversation. But if you were the NSA on one side, they knew the coup was taking place. You didn't know who all was involved in the coup.
Okay.
You just knew who was in charge of the
coup.
Okay,
I feel like that wouldn't make no difference. And here's my perspective. Why?
And it's a Politburo.
Because I'm like, hey, if there's a coup going on, and like everybody in the military, the branches involved to start a war with the United States, it don't matter if you send the video.
Yeah.
You're at war no matter what.
It doesn't matter if we rescue and we're at war regardless.
Yeah, regardless. Like, that's what I'm saying. If the whole thing was to upset the dictatorship or the leadership, it wouldn't matter. But if you send it out to a bunch of people and let it filter through the thing.
Yeah, because it wouldn't make – why would you isolate the president? If everybody was on board with it, you wouldn't have to isolate him. You just do it in Moscow.
Yeah, you would have shot the president at that point and we're going to
yeah,
war.
You would have just killed him or done it at home. You didn't need to fly him out to this remote location.
No, but what you needed him to be was incapacitated, which there's a fault. Like in our lines of succession – okay, from president to vice president, speaker of the house, et cetera, they have their lines of succession. So when their president is out of order or incapacitated, falls to the defense minister. Under the times of war, then he could seize it by martial power everybody. Wouldn't have to get confirmation of the Politburo.
No, I'm saying, but before the war had been declared, like the whole point of what he was trying to do was to get us to react, to cause a war.
Correct.
And I'm saying from
but
the American perspective, if we contact the next person in succession, with the audio tape and the videotape.
We only had a videotape. We didn't have audio tape.
It doesn't matter. The videotape is suspicious enough. It warrants a phone call to your president.
That's at least enough for them to start an investigation.
And remember, all phones and everything were being scrambled in and out of that area.
From that area, but not
between
the United
States. Russia.
And by the time they would have thought that we did any propaganda or we weren't trying to do something, by the time they did an investigation, the guy had to have a couple key people on the inside back in Moscow. To intercept those type of calls.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just one of those things to me where I felt more could have been done. At least they would have just shown the president saying like, oh, I couldn't get in contact with anybody. Nobody's answering the phone or something. Then I would have gone with it. It was just, I don't know. It was a little unusual.
Yeah. And at a certain point, they realized it was an isolated incident because Dmitry, the prime minister of defense, he was basically trying to, like, do stuff on his own. They came to a conclusion at one point in the film. At a certain point, it's like this all could have been settled with a phone call between diplomatic channels that were already established could have said it all.
Yeah.
At least calling the investigation to, like, allow us, like, hey, we can't get a hold of our Russian president. Stop all military options until we get him on the phone because this video does not look good with you shooting the our president's bodyguard.
Yeah.
Why you should, you know what I'm saying? Like anybody that's in that circle, and if that circle is okay with it, then we know as the United States, like that Russia's trying to go with war with us. So
he's 100% right.
Let's go, baby.
Like they executed his bodyguard.
Let's go.
And we had that on film.
Like, what are you doing?
So
like, it doesn't look good.
And you show him, he was also in that scene, and he's being held, and everybody's holding him with guns. So you can't be like, oh, he's not really indisposed.
But they didn't kill the president.
They didn't.
It don't
kill
matter. It don't look good.
Because the defense minister was like, I'm telling everybody that all the orders I'm giving are coming from you. So then when we start a war, when the United States and Russia get into a war, he can just kill the president saying, oh, we killed him in the firefight. That's the only reason he kept him alive, so he could tell everybody else at home that the president was actually giving the orders.
So the procedure, man, is you get the video, you send it to Russia, say, hey, United States is not trying to go to war with you. You pull back the lines of our troops. So that means...
Who do you send it to?
Everybody
the
in the... Person
I don't know Russian... I don't know their constitution.
Any diplomatic channel that we have established with Russia.
And then the guy would have immediately said, well, they sunk one of our submarines in the North Cap. We've got pictures.
That has
ID.
Nothing to do with you
that
shooting
got nothing to do with
the president's
holding
bodyguard.
The president like
I'm
that.
Saying it wants enough for them to try to get hold of their own president on the phone. And if you can't get something him on the phone for some reason.
Then they would have said they've assassinated the president. They would have said you've assassinated the Russian
president.
But we
had footage of you.
They would have said
him
it was doctored, just like they do.
The film is doctored? Okay.
Yeah.
He might have said
it would have took forever to convince them that this was all real. It would have took forever. You got to remember, you got to move all the other power. Plus, this guy is over the whole military. So you're trying to convince the political arm, the Politburo of the Russian state, that their president has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
But the guy that's in charge of all the guns, the bullets, the Marines, everything that moves, basically they're equivalent to our Joint Chiefs, is saying, no, they killed our president, and they shot down one of our submarines, and we're immediately, we've launched our ships, and we're going to war. He's already got them in an action moving forward. They're fully committed before they can do an investigation.
I agree, but that's the problem with the film. If that was the plan, just kill the president at the beginning and go to war.
Exactly.
Just go to war. Why are we doing all this middle stuff?
He had a whole plan, and also the people didn't
because
know.
Because what his whole plan was to undermine the president.
So just kill him and say they killed him.
He only had a small group of supporters.
He
had a small group of supporters.
Everything else that happened to be there, he didn't tell anybody that.
But he needed it to go to a certain point.
Yeah.
And then he would effectively seize power away from the president.
That's what I'm saying, that him going to a certain point is evidence that he didn't have the support. And I'm saying we could have sent the video that they caught on film of the coup happening, of shooting the bodyguard, and say, the United States is not trying to go war with you. Get a hold of your president because there's something fishy going on. And you're saying, well, he would have just killed the president. Now I'm like, didn't kill the president at the beginning.
Well, there's two ways. He was trying to seize power at the same time. What he would have done is a vote of no confidence.
I mean, and my whole thing, it's like, it seems like he didn't have a lot of support. Because if he was going to undermine the next secession outside of war, he wouldn't need more support. That means that somebody can easily outvote him. Yeah, it's just weak.
In the end, what I think happened is the president could have self-destructed. And then all the problems would have been solved.
It's interesting. It's interesting the way it's interesting. The key of that whole thing is they needed our missiles to be caught firing first on satellite. That's the whole premise of this whole thing.
Oh, no, we're not arguing that.
Is that we engage them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was his whole plan. He was waiting for us to attack. But if we had talked diplomatically with people in Moscow, we would have at least raised some flags and they would have done some sort of it. They would have brought people there.
You can't tell me that you can send a video to our Secretary of State and anybody in the what is it called?
In our chain of command?
Yeah. Anybody. Somebody would have made the phone call to the president.
Well, they couldn't talk to the president directly, but whoever's next in line in Moscow would have at the very least said send somebody over there.
Yeah, check it out.
At the very least.
Check it out. He's supposed to be there. Why can't we get him on the phone? It's a state of emergency. Yeah, I'm next in line. Why can't I? Okay, I'm sending somebody
especially with the guy who's supposed to be looking after him saying, oh, he's indisposed. Yeah, the and then well, the, they send me.
Flip it. Okay, you're going to send somebody, but we're in an active state of war right now. We have a nuclear submarine sunk. They've made threats against the president.
We're not in war yet.
Wait a minute. But submarines have been launched. We have moved our ships. Okay? We had moved our ships to DEFCON 2 and then DEFCON 1, moved them into a forward position to engage the Navy.
You know how I do that? I would say don't attack the United States people. Let them fire the first shot.
You see, the right arm wasn't telling what the left. Like, when they moved their ships, it was a response to us moving ours. I don't think
you're right. They didn't move their ships until we did it. They needed everything to happen on our end first.
This guy was not communicating with the rest of his country.
Yeah.
No. What I'm saying is, like, he was isolated. He was waiting for us to attack. So the submarine and the destroyer was already there. He didn't summon other people. He just used the piece he had right in front of him.
Right. He's trying to manipulate, so like I said, that it would show on satellite that we moved our ships or launched our rockets first.
Yes.
To give him the provocation that he needs to take power.
Yeah.
So he could have been checked. He could have easily been checked. At the very least, someone had been like, I need to confirm that these orders
that
are coming from the president.
Like
from who? That's the thing.
I mean, think about it. I mean, if that was our president, right, and we saw all of his Secret Service being executed.
Really runs like a dictatorship. I mean, they have a policy, but it doesn't do nothing.
You see all of his Secret Service being executed. You see the president being held at gunpoint by our own troops, and then another foreign power is saying, we're not doing this. Here's this video. You mean to tell me we'd just be like, that's all lies? We wouldn't even question? Because then if they tried to call, and they're like, the guy that's supposed to be watching him is saying, oh, he's indisposed.
Hey,
I see. So what do you mean? Back. I saw in the video.
This is how weird that it works. Putin was president. Remember that? Then he quit. He became the guy's vice president. He elected his own president.
Yeah.
That guy absolutely had no balls, no power. He made a decision. Putin said, no, we're not going to do that. The vice president. And then he reelected himself president again after that guy's term came out.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
But no,
you have to have the person.
But Putin's the one in power. If this was Putin, which is supposed to be the equivalent, I think, like people would do something.
Yeah, and we're talking about look. Yeah, Lois.
Let's say that guy who took over for Putin that one time for that, he was the president. Say he was disappeared. You think anybody's going to go look for him if Putin says don't go look for him?
No, because Putin's the one actually in power.
Exactly.
But this president was the one actually in power.
Not.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, it did. Just one
as soon as he spoke over the phone,
everybody stopped and did everything he said.
Soon as that admiral spoke over the phone,
he
had the respect of a crew. He trained all those people, and then it was further confirmation when the president finally spoke. But so, when the admiral spoke, is when everything stopped.
So your cop out answer right now is the president of Russia had no backing, no power.
I think if you're planning a coup of anything of this,
wait a minute,
you have to have certain little pieces checked. You have to have that scenario put together. That
but they
somebody's
didn't.
Gonna call.
I don't disagree with you. I'm saying this was a poor. I think this guy was just doing this really quick. I thought he had a deeper plan. I actually thought there was something else going to be revealed, but then I was absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh.
We're in shallow waters.
And that's why I'm saying this movie, it didn't.
But submarine movie was in shallow waters.
It didn't work because it was so. It was obvious how you could fix it. That's what I'm saying. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt, but the movie didn't.
The movie was. It had a lot of weak points.
You know, like there was some cool. Like, okay,
is there anything good about the film that we? I mean, I
like the two perspectives, having people on the ground and people at sea, and then you know navigating through those cool waters and stuff like that.
No, it's a different dude. That's not the guy from Game of Thrones.
So that was cool. But, yeah. Whatever. As a whole, this movie was very disappointing. You know what it felt like? And I think this is true. I haven't looked it up. I'm pretty sure this movie sat on the shelf a long time. This felt like it was recorded a long time ago.
You know, I was thinking about that in the film. It's like, I wonder with our current political climate with Russia, or just like Russia being a thing in the news, like, do they like, hey, let's just make these people Russian? Maybe it was a different country at first, and we just like it'd be more appeasing to like.
Gerard Butler saves Russia.
I mean, they did that with Red Dawn. With that movie Red Dawn, they completely
changed China.
Who the antagonists were?
They changed it to China
after the movie was already shot.
The Red Dawn, it's a sequel.
It's a remake.
So the first one was Russia. Now the sequel.
They changed it to China.
So maybe the original protagonist in this film was like. China or something.
I think that they just filmed this along, like Geostorm. Gerard Butler had a movie Geostorm that was filmed like 7-8 years ago, and they just sat on it because it was so bad. They just knew it was horrible, and they just were like, I don't know, we can finally release it now. It got moved around from company to company.
It's the CGI in this film was so bad, and like the shots on the green screen was just. I mean, you could just see it. It was pretty.
It was Common, because Common has become a much better actor. This, to me, felt like him just starting.
Has he become a better actor?
Yeah, he was really good on Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels?
He's good on some stuff. He's not, like, fantastic. You're not going to confuse him for, like, an Academy Award-winning actor, but he's passable.
It's different, because, like, Gerard Butler in his last film, Den of Thieves, he definitely looks older. In this one, he looks younger.
It seemed like somebody, a producer or somebody went around, it had got all these people committed to this project. They got Common signed on, Gerard Butler, Gary Oldman, and they sold this thing to Hollywood.
You know what I'm saying?
So they had to finish making the movie.
What year do you think they shot the film? I say 2013. Are you saying he shot in the last 2 years?
Gary Oldman's age looked about right.
I mean, he'd been looking old since the special he did with Stephen King on television.
His weight size looked like he had action.
Well, looking at this, it looks like they were filming this in around 2015. So it looks like 2014, 2015.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's an old film.
So, you know, it's a little, it's not that old. I thought it was a lot older than that. But, yeah, it's not a good movie. It was a perfect time to kind of dump it. There was nothing in this slot. This week was kind of weak. There wasn't a lot of stuff.
If you don't have plans to go pay for it at the movie theater, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of those. This is a perfect week, right? There wasn't a lot coming out.
No.
And so just dump it out here.
Make some revenue.
0 torpedoes out of 5, man. Go see Halloween.
I mean, it's, you know, it's watchable. You know, if you're at home, Netflix is on, it's watchable, but.
I feel like there's better things you could do with your time, folks.
It's not,
It's not a good action film. It's not a great submarine film. It's passable. You can watch it if you're bored and whatever. It'll pass the time.
Not enough tension, not enough action. Gary Oldman is very underused. I can't believe that. I mean,
if I was on a date or like at the house watching a movie, I'll put this film on because I know I can like talk to somebody.
It's a Netflix and chill movie, people.
Yeah, just like and like not miss a beat of what's going on in the film. Yeah. Kind of know what's going on. Like it's all
exactly.
But I'll agree with
this
you.
This is a film you put on. Yeah, that's what you guys need. The Hunted Killer is a film you put on when you don't really care about what happens in the film.
You're right. The most exciting scene. The most exciting scenes are where they put the seals. The seals are about land.
Those guys were entertaining.
That was really good.
They were a good dynamic. They had some cool. Yeah, the action sequences where they actually rescued the. It was cool stuff.
Yeah, everything. Cool. They were the movie. They were good.
Yeah.
The rest of it kind of was mailed in. That's all I can say. It was mailed in.
Yeah. It was weak.
It was slipped in a torpedo tube and fired.
And it started off promising. I was actually really into it at the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah, like when the ships got attacked and we're trying to figure it out, then they get attacked. I'm like, oh, okay, is this going to be like a standoff? We're trying to find each other in the water this whole time, you know, but it didn't go that way.
Yeah, I thought there would be more battle. Yeah. Like I said, it's a poor man's Hunt for Red October.
Poor man's Hunt.
It really is.
I don't.
The Hunt for Red October.
No, it's Red October's good. This film definitely established, like, I think walking a submarine is something I don't ever want to do. Or, like, just battle in general underwater, it seems like a bad idea.
I feel like this movie didn't give me that feeling. I was so mad about that. I wanted that tension. That's why I love submarine movies, because you feel, like, claustrophobic with them.
And I thought it would go somewhere, because they did something they don't never... This guy rose up through the ranks. He didn't come through Annapolis.
Yeah.
He knew all the positions. I was like, okay, wow. So we could...
Yeah.
We're really going to battle. You're going to see him jumping all around the ship, helping people do their jobs and all this.
Leonidas on the submarine. Nope, you don't get that, folks.
It's
not Leonidas on the submarine.
Like you had the XO who's like, you're doing it wrong, Captain. What are you doing every time?
It's so
basic.
Right. Oh, my God. Like I said.
This is treason.
Yeah, you had the XO that was going to do that. The one torpedo scene, as always.
Yeah, the torpedo that
that'll fall off the rack.
Water gets in on the boat. There's always
the torpedo shell.
It's the same stuff over and over. Yeah.
All the time.
It was never invented.
There wasn't enough going on there.
Yeah.
Much better submarine movies. There wasn't enough premise in this movie.
So, yeah, people, I mean, it's the only thing out really this week. So, I mean, if you are bored and you just have to go to the movies, maybe check it out. But overall, I think it's definitely a Netflix and chill movie, like Josh said. Something you can watch, you know, with your significant other.
See it when you see it.
That should be a new category. One of the
Why not? Actions. Why not?
I got you guys. Don't worry.
See it when you can see it. If it comes on TV, you can watch the commercials.
It'll be on. I guarantee it'll be on TV in like 2 weeks. It's one of those movies where you turn like, man, that's already on.
I'll put it to you this way. If Blockbuster still existed, it'd go straight to video. It's one of those straight to video.
It should have been a straight to video movie.
It's a straight to video. It should be a straight to Netflix.
I bet you the reason they did it is because they had Gary Oldman. I'm betting you money. And Common, because he's an Academy Award winner, and so is Gary Oldman. You forget Common won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
But like you said.
But that was for music. But I expect this movie to be on Netflix no later than December. It'll be on the next 60 days.
Yeah.
I got you.
I just can't see it having like any sustainability.
Like you said, man, if it was Blockbuster, it'd be straight to DVD. Speaking of the 90s, guys. Yeah, I was trying to do a transition. No, you're not there, guys? Okay, I tried. Brennan, go ahead.
Now,
I thought I had
you
it,
already did it. Go ahead, introduce
I did.
The film.
Okay.
Red October was made in the '90s. The Hunt.
I tried. You know.
All right. Well, Josh is right. So we're gonna move on to mid '90s now. Now this movie is we saved this one for last because it is the most interesting out of all of them. This is Jonah Hill, whom you all know from Superbad and Moneyball and Wolf of Wall Street, all these other films, and recently his show Maniac on Netflix, which is very good, actually. If you haven't seen that.
No, I need to check it out.
It's him and Emma Stone. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, I like Emma Stone.
It's actually really, really good. And he's skinny. He lost a ton of weight.
Yo, he keeps fluctuating between weight. I think he's like Christian Bale.
No, like, he's been like, in this movie, in the show Maniac, he's real, real skinny. And somebody else told me he got like buff for another role.
Jonah Hill buff. I gotta see
like he
that.
Went from super bad big to like buff now, from what I understand.
Yo, he was like big in that what's that movie he did with the guy from Drumline? Not Drumline.
War Dogs?
Yeah, War Dogs. You know.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I forget his name. I know you're talking about.
You know what that movie he did?
Fantastic Four is the only one I can think of.
Whiplash.
Whiplash, yeah, same guy.
Oh,
same
my
guy.
God, that movie was fantastic. But yeah, so, yeah, he was big in War Dogs.
Yeah, he was really big in War Dogs.
So he's like Christian Bale. He keeps fluctuating
But he's lost a lot. I think before he was fluctuating because he was trying, and then he just didn't put his heart into it.
Between roles, man.
But right now, Christian Bale does it for acting. This guy, I think he's just doing it for health. I think he just wants to do it.
Okay.
But he looks good.
Sorry, Jonah. I gave you too much credit.
Nah, he wants to do it. And so he did this movie. He wrote and directed this movie called Mid-90s. It's an interesting film because it doesn't have really any... It has a couple people that you might have recognized, like Lucas Hedge. He's in it. He's actually, before this movie started, there was a trailer of the next movie he's doing with Julia Roberts called Ben Is Back or something like that, where he plays like a veteran who came back to his mom or whatever. But he's kind of doing a little bit more movies.
The older brother. Is that the same guy that's playing the older brother?
Yeah,
in this
the older
movie?
Brother. It's the same guy.
Okay.
Same guy. But
oh really?
Yeah,
okay, and I see. Yeah,
yeah. Whatever. We'll talk about that movie later.
Yeah.
But like, so in this movie, it's interesting because, like I said, there's no real big actors, and it's just a story about a kid and him coming into terms with himself and getting friends in the 90s. He just meets a group of people he thinks are really cool, and he wants to hang out with them. They're skaters. They just party a lot, and they do different things, skateboard tricks, watch videos, and he's just hanging with them. Like, there's really no plot here. That's basically what it is. You're following him as he goes through his life, making these friends and the experiences that they get into.
I think there's a plot. I think this kid, he's displaced. He's got a dysfunctional home. He's not feeling accepted at home or at school or wherever he is, given his size, the tension between him and his brother always picks on him, takes out his feelings against him because of the difference between when his mother had him and then when he had the younger boy. She's totally two different people. She had the older brother when she was about 18, so she was a young mom, probably hanging out, partying a lot, doing a lot of different things. The bedroom door was a swinging bedroom door, if you know what I mean. People were coming and going all the time, and all of a sudden she's this different person and showing more love and affection and more attentive to the younger brother. And so the older brother, it creates this tension dynamic between the older brother and the younger brother because the older brother is jealous at how the younger brother is being treated. But the younger brother, all he does is idolize and emulate his older brother. And what we're seeing is this kid goes on this journey trying to discover who he is and find his place in the world. And it just happens one day when he's hanging out, finds this group of people, his little gang, and it happens to be at the height of the skater movement and things that are happening in Los Angeles and in the area where a lot of skate shops are opening and kids are hanging out, learning to do tricks and hanging out with street people. But it had a lot of places to go.
Yeah, and that, yes, what you said is true. But again, see, some of the stuff, that's one of the things I like and actually don't like about the film is everything you said is true. Yes, the mother did say that she had the older brother at a certain age. But there's a lot of stuff that they don't expressly tell you that you have to kind of figure out.
See, that's what I like about the film because everything
what I said.
With that.
It's a like and don't like. There's two points of it. Two reasons.
Okay, I thought that was a point that you don't like.
No, I like and don't like it, but for different reasons.
Okay, continue.
Because I do like that they make you figure it out because it feels more natural that way. You see that. You're trying to figure out why the older brother's being so aggressive. You see that the older brother has his own issues that he has to work through, and they don't expressly tell you what those issues are. But that also leads it to you have to make too many leaps to try to figure out where everyone's why he's doing all of these things. Because, yeah, I saw him emulate his older brother, and he wanted to be into that hip-hop thing. He was listening to his brother's music, and he's trying to buy his brother the presents and all that stuff to kind of appeal to him. And then he just kind of – I forgot even how he met this crew. I don't even remember what drew him to them.
Just walking down the street.
Is that what it was? And he
just walking down the street.
He was walking down the street, and he saw them skating, and they were messing with that shopkeeper.
Yeah,
and he wanted to hang with them.
That's it. And he went to the store and just walked.
And he just kind of stayed there. And so it's not a plot. Like there's no like, it's just kind of it's kind of like a slice of life. You're just seeing what this person is going through in this 1 year.
It, to me, it's
4 months.
Is it four months?
Well, it's 4 months.
There was a point like where he said that, but
he's become he's self aware, but he's become self aware. He's become self aware of his place not the universe, not in his family house, not at school. And he's struggling to figure out where it's going to be. And it's interesting how just a slight turn in your life can make it go left or right in the people that you meet or the situations that you fall into. And that's what I liked a little bit about this movie. I've been this kid, maybe not to that extent, but a lot of those same similar experiences, just meeting this one guy took me this way. Sure. A word of wisdom from this guy took me another way. All the same people within the same crew.
Sure.
And how his life was being affected in these little ways, these little nonsensical ways that were going to change him forever.
Yeah, and I got that. That's what I'm saying. I did enjoy the film because it didn't have to tell you. You saw it just subtly in the kid's behavior and how he started acting. You know, at the very beginning, when he started acting out, he was kind of punishing himself. He felt super guilty. He apologized. And then as the movie progressed, he's gotten a lot more hard and he's gotten a lot more angry and just more vocal about speaking out. And so that was good.
He found his voice.
Yeah, and it felt natural. Well, not only did he just find his voice, which he did because he was very timid at first, but he also just didn't care. He was more willing to do these things, these bad things, and not think so much about it.
Did he really find his voice, or was he just angry? I don't think he found his voice. I think he was just angry and acted out.
I mean, I think that's his voice. I think before he would not express himself.
Yeah, he was never.
So when he finally had it, he walked up the courage to express himself. That was paired with anger.
Yeah.
He didn't express himself in a calm manner about his feelings, but before he would not say anything. The kid from the very beginning, he was angry and he would not say anything about it. But like, so that's what I mean when he found his voice.
I don't think he found his voice. I think he came to a volcanic explosion because where he finally found his voice, and you talk about the time of the anger that he's having that interaction with his mom, is because this is my last straw. Everything is being taken away from
him. No, I think it's different because it's like he's angry with his mom, so he's finally speaking up against his mom. He's angry with his brother, and so he's finally calling his brother out on the BS that he's been doing. Like he's finding his voice. Now, there's a lot of things that the kid does in the past he goes on that's just very shocking, but I think it's part of him coming to his own for good and for bad.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things in it, like it's like that's what the film, it's like polarizing because there's a lot of things that this kid does that's like, oh, that's good, you have to grow into certain situations, but a lot of situations that the kid is bad in as well.
It's really representative of how fate or lucky you could be by just the choice of who's in your life or who cares about you or who will look after you.
Well, all his friends did care about him.
But these were friends that he picked up along the way. I'm talking about like little choices, left and right. Like, okay, the mixed kid. I like this because this little gang, because there's a mixed kid. The mixed kid kept saying the N-word more than anybody ever.
Yeah,
heard.
Man, that bothered me at the beginning of the movie. It really did.
What, okay, he was black? What are you talking about?
I mean, technically he can say it. He's definitely had black.
I can't even name the Kelda's name.
It's his name, yeah.
Okay, he's saying it like crazy. Okay, so he's mixed. Then you have a Hispanic kid. Then you got a real white kid. Then you got a little white kid. And then you got definitely a black kid. So they've got this little mixed gang.
Yeah, my skateboarding knows no colors.
Where their lives they're bound together by this skating and this rebellious little lifestyle. That really was intriguing on who came into your life. It's not that they didn't begin to care about him until later. He just found a place where he thought he could fit in, where this was cool, something here.
Yeah, everybody has to start somewhere, but like he cultured a friendship with these people. They you know, they went through like they skated. You go through falls and trials with each person. You bled with these people, you party with these people, you know, like they made a friendship eventually. And that's where the caring it come from.
It seemed like it actually he fostered a relationship with really one, and the others were there for the part of that why he was there was to make their own need. Like,
I mean,
with the little Hispanic kid, he needed somebody to be more superior to.
I mean, there's always
he couldn't be the low guy on the rung anymore.
Well, I mean, he wanted a different dynamic. He wanted somebody though, but I think he eventually did have genuine feelings for the person. I think that's highlighted towards the end of the film. For every character, though.
Yeah, he cared about all of them. I mean, they each brought him something that he needed. Each of them filled like a little piece of something that he was missing. There was one who was completely reckless. There was one who was I don't really want to say, but he's more like a father figure. He was more responsible. He wasn't as a father figure, but he was the most responsible out of the group.
Sure.
There was another one who was closer to his age who he could have a little bit more conversation with. There was another one who was kind of, he wasn't the smartest, but he had dreams, and you could just have a conversation with him and be interesting to think about things.
I mean, for me, man, it's like this film was so nostalgic for me, like growing up, because I, like at that age, I started doing skateboarding a lot too, and I'm like a little brother. So I remember like going to my brother's room, like listening to the CDs or doing these things that this kid did in the film at such a young age, and even getting, you know, the ass whoopings here and there for no apparent reasons. Like, it was just very.
It definitely reminded me of U2 a lot.
It just
U2 in particular.
Well, I was a little younger than this kid around. I don't know what year this takes place in, but this was kind of my era. You know, I was born in the mid 80s, and so around the time that this movie takes place, I'd have been around, let's say, 10 or 11, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of understood, and I did have these type of friends. I did have the skater guys who used to do that. I was into that stuff for a little bit. Not nearly as much as he was, but I did have that era where I was following that. I was doing these things.
I remember.
I hung out with these type of people in these type of settings in these groups. So when the movie started and I saw him going, I was like, well, it made me laugh because I'm like, wow, this is really accurate. Like, I know exactly who these people are, what they're going to do, and how it all fits together, and seeing him kind of come into it. Where I differed is that the kid, he looked for everybody's approval a lot, and I was never that. But I did have older brothers whose stuff I would sneak into to listen to their things as well. So I don't know. I really, that's what I'm saying. I really liked that movie, that it didn't hold your hand and tell you exactly what he's going to do and exactly what's happening with the mom or exactly what's happening with the brother. It just kind of let it happen and you made your own conclusions.
And I think so. I like that too, because I like that the plot and the depth is there in the film. It's not necessarily like highlighted, like we're going to talk about these issues, but you kind of just pick it up. It's like an undertone. And it's his kid's day-to-day life with his friends. And that's what I kind of I like about this film a lot, too. There's some problems I have with it, but, like, I think it's very relatable. I guess if you were into skateboarding, maybe just even grew up in the 90s. I don't know how common this thing is, but, I've had older brothers, got into those fights, found my own friends group. I've been in fifth grade smoking cigarettes with some older people, just finding different groups and just doing different rebellious things. So it was just one of those films. I was just, like, watching the kid. I was like, yeah, man, I've been there. Like,
it did remind me a lot, like I said, of you two. You, Brandon, with his dark period, and you and your other period, especially when he would yell at you, stay out of his stuff, and you'd be at his stuff, and you idolize your little, you want to be with Brandon, you want to follow him all around. I could see how this film go both ways. And I remember myself being that kid looking for a place to be. So it's an interesting perspective. Not only from being a kid, of course I wasn't in the 90s.
But
being a dad and actually watching that interaction between the three, the four of you.
No, you had the revolving door.
See, like, there's so much about this film that's like my life.
That's what's very interesting is that we're all from very different generations, but we can all relate to these characters because the situation is the same. Like, maybe it's the era is different and what they're doing is different, but the same people, their issues, the conflicts, and their interactions are kind of transcend generations.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about this film is it's an old television show. I don't know if you guys watch it. It's called The Wonder Years, and I know, but it Wonder Years is like it picks on like common childhood experiences.
Yeah.
And I think this film has like a common childhood experience, but it's gritty. It's more grimy. It's like a different, it's other side of the coin. It's not this perfect Wonder Years fairy tale.
The feeling of wanting to belong.
Yeah, it's just like it's like a coming of age story. It's you and your friends against the world where you don't fit in nowhere. Like your home doesn't fit in with you. You're not fitting in at school. So you find these group of people and it's just you against the world trying to make it type of mentality. Establishing friendships like on a board and just going.
And they do a lot of stuff with it. It's not just, it's
just tracking.
It's everything. And I really appreciated some of the scenes. Like it's a movie. Remember, this is all about kids. They're all like 15, 16 and younger at the max. Right. And they have sex scenes. Right. And on the one hand, you get it. But at the other hand, like, I felt really awkward. I felt like Chris Hansen was going to pop in the theater and, like, arrest me for just seeing sitting there.
Yeah, I kept, yeah, it was very uncomfortable.
I mean, okay, they didn't go in. They were just kissing on the bed.
Bruh, but they was kids. Like, nah.
They were, like, in the underwear kissing on the bed. There was some...
He's definitely underage.
I don't know how they got away with that.
I was thinking
the same thing. So it was... But, I mean, I think the uncomfortableness was the point, because he was uncomfortable. Like, you're remembering what that felt like.
Man, like, no, it's just like, I mean, I didn't think too much of it. At first, I was like, okay, this is kind of, there's other movies I've seen recently where they had, like, the underage girl, and I just kind of felt
uncomfortable. Not this. This felt weird because she was much older than him at the time. So you're watching. It was
now, what's interesting is I felt uncomfortable. Your brother felt uncomfortable, but we're both parents. You're yet to be a parent.
To me, I was like, it took me back to being young and being a kid and just like, this, you know, like you in that situation with a girl for the first time or an older girl for the first time.
Well, it took us all there, but.
So I'm just like.
But he's talking about the scene being actually shot. How did they shoot this scene?
Well, I'm thinking about all of it. Like, how they shot it is one question.
And that's a parental perspective where, yeah, we're thinking about the nostalgia of it. Yeah, we remember when all this was happening. Right. We were young, but at the same time, we're going.
Well,
How the hell are they getting away with doing this with my kid?
I'm pretty sure the girl's 18.
Where's Dateline?
No, I think the girl is.
Yeah, the girl's 18, and the kid, like, nobody cares about boys' feelings. They're going to let them do it.
It's the law.
Yeah, it's the law. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
What? It's the law?
No,
I didn't know that.
Wait, no, like, you could do it for a movie. They've done it in the past before.
I know,
the Pocahontas movie, like.
I think technically.
No, it was like a live-action Pocahontas film where they had, like, Brad Pitt do a sex scene with, like, a 16-year-old girl.
No, he'd be arrested. You can't do
that. No, they did. They did. It's a real thing.
It probably is.
It is.
It's just gotta strange.
No, they did it.
Filmed in some weird state.
I mean.
Yeah, it might have been.
Now, I know how they probably got away with it.
Okay, but
technically, less than a bikini.
There were no, like, there was no, it, what the scene, to me, it's not sexualized because there was no nudity and they didn't, like, they didn't go into, like, no, like.
It was sexual.
Dude, it was soft child porn.
They had close-ups on them kissing. Like, they were doing everything they could except for, like, penetration, bro. Like, they went.
They were not on top of each other. Like,
they implied that with some of the kissing.
It was a
they
lot
showed
of it was,
some of them,
it,
like,
they implied. They backed out, and the kid was there, and they cut out to the scene. It wasn't.
What I'm saying is they were trying to imply. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Like, we
the
all
way
know.
That they shot it, I know they didn't actually do anything.
Like I said, the most interesting thing is, because you have had no children yet, which is great, your perspective on this and not feeling uncomfortable about it is definitely different.
So are
than
you
the two
uncomfortable
of us
like
had,
the kid was
kids.
Involved in the scene?
Well, that was uncomfortable too, but it was just because here was what it was for me. Not only is it two presumably underage kids doing the scene, right? They're making out. And they were making out regardless.
Correct.
And then they're taking each other's clothes off. That's awkward. And then on top of that, she seems like she's at least 3 years older than him. So she seems like she's like
gotta be 17.
17 and he looked like he was 12, 13, so that was weird too. So it's like all of
didn't he say he was like 10 or 11?
So, and just looking at him, he looks so small. she's only
too so tall.
And I was like, oh, that's
now,
weird.
The funny thing is, I remember that exactly thing happening.
No, I remember, like, I understand
when I was 9
where he's
years old.
At. And I'm like, bruh, go ahead. To my side, I understand.
Yeah, I'll be like 12. She's 17. It's all
but
good.
Sitting here.
Like,
but as a parent watching it on film,
as an adult
very,
sitting here watching
yes,
it, I feel
very
weird.
Uncomfortable.
Don't feel that's what every teenage person goes through.
But if I was,
that's what we all went
through. If I was in his shoes and
I was
his
age. We're not reading it in a book. We're seeing
this. Yeah, I'm watching it. That's like saying kiddie porn's okay because I did that.
It's not kiddie porn, bro.
It doesn't work, man. No, it's not.
I mean, I feel
like, but what I'm saying, it was weird.
It was the most pleasant feeling. I couldn't wait for it to pass.
Yeah, I could. It went on a little bit longer than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, longer than it needed to exist. It
seems like 15 seconds long.
And was this movie shot in 8mm? What was the thing?
Yo, it was a short
yeah,
thing,
I think it
like
was
screen resolution. Yeah,
okay,
it's authentic.
I knew it was intentional.
It's probably a film from the 90s.
Because like what it ended up looking like is the whole movie
looked like that era film, yeah,
like the skater film, like the guy
exactly.
was filming.
And I liked that. I think that was. I wondered if Jonah Hill was either the little boy or if he was the guy filming.
He said it's not really autobiographical, even though some of those things happened to him in his life.
No.
But he says not autobiographical at all. His parent, I think one was an accountant or something.
I'm probably
like
not
that.
Directly, but I'm sure a lot of those experiences are experiences. Because you don't, that seems very personal. Like, the way that the story went, it felt personal.
But is it, though? Like, we all just talked about how we all had something similar happen to our lives.
True.
Like, I think these are common occurrences. Like, maybe, you know, we just sat around and talked about it.
For his first movie, he chose to do that. Like, that usually signifies, that's something that's important to you.
Common experiences, but not necessarily the common in the way that we felt. Like, I never, you know, you could, the experiences could be the same, but did you feel like the outside kid? Or were you part of the cool club, but you still had the experience?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Jonah Hill was definitely an outside kid.
He might have been.
Not necessarily.
Been. I don't know what he was like when he was a kid. Who knows? He could have been, who could have been any of them, actually. I just thought he was either the filming guy, what was his name, fourth grade?
Well, you know, he lucked into acting, into this acting career. He just decided, I forgot what he took some drama class because he wanted the writer, the actors to say the lines the correct way, a way that they should be really be said, and that's how he fell into the career.
But so as a whole, I thought the movie was really good. Again, the reason I say I didn't like the ambiguous nature of the way that they didn't tell you exactly what's happening, because it ended so abruptly.
It did. And now I thought about it, I kind of like it, because it's a slice of life. Like, and that's what Brandon's point is getting to. It's not like there's a goal. Like, when you watch a film like Halloween, we're going back for a minute, the goal is to stop the killer. This film doesn't have a go. It's like the kid makes friends, and you just there watching his life. Now, the films, I guess there is a climax in the film, like climax in the film that you finally get to, but it's not set out.
It
it's
doesn't feel like
life
a climax.
Happens.
It just feels
it's
still like
a
something
slice. It's just something that happens. Yeah. You don't know what happens the next day. Yeah.
And, like, I think it's a good place to end the film because, like, the final scene, there's nowhere else to take the film. I mean, just to live the kid's life, but it kind of got to the
No, you could only go so far.
You could, and I think... And it's one of the things, I like, right
it
when it ended,
end.
It just, I was really, like, I already liked the characters, but I was really starting to feel them. I started seeing where each character wanted to go, what they were ultimately going to try and accomplish. And I started getting involved with them. And then it just ends. And I'm like, and I felt this, like, void. Like, man, like, let me know. Like
were...
is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? Like.
Yeah, it definitely came in because, like, you want to know what happened to each character. It's like, does this guy have a future in this? Does he go on to pursue this? And. You know, those are natural conclusions you look in the film. Like, what is this kid's goal? Like, what are the conclusions? But that's not the story we're trying
and
to tell.
Think,
the story was just like, this is the kid's
This is the point, to show, like, how he got to this point.
And what I liked, is they paid attention to detail. They used 90s cars wherever we're on the street. They used the baggy pants the kid was wearing. How they did the skateboard shop.
All the music was of that era. I recognize a lot of the songs.
A lot of the music was from that era. A little loud.
Yeah, that's how you know. He was like, oh, this is a crappy hippity hop.
No, it would just come in out of nowhere really loud.
It was good songs. They chose good stuff.
Chose appropriate stuff. I like how they...
There was good skating going on. The skating was pretty cool. There was some guys
doing
some
tricks. The skating, it was so basic. They were doing, like, ollies and grinding on, like, small rails. There was nothing crazy.
There was nothing fantastic.
I mean, it's midnight. You talking about no half pipes or
something? No, but I'm saying it was, like, it was like, very basic street. Like, they weren't even doing, like, what are they called? Manuals or anything like that.
No big tricks.
It was literally just ollies and a couple of
them. They're all amateur skaters, my friend.
But even when, but they went to some stuff and there were other people there. I'm not saying that it was bad. I'm just saying that wasn't the focus. Skating was, like, an excuse to get together.
Yeah, skating was the glue that held them together. Yeah. It was the backdrop to the film. The fact that they found each other, they found a safe space, and a place to hang out and enjoy one another's company, that was the movie.
And, you know, thinking of, there's so many scenes that I really liked. Like that scene with the bum was a really good scene.
It was.
You know, like just sitting there having a conversation with a homeless person. Didn't lead to anything. It was just having a conversation. People forget that they're people too. They had dreams. They had lives.
Yeah.
And you just never want to talk to them, you know? And then the conversation with that rent-a-cop, that was hilarious. That was cracking me up.
Are you mad?
I wasn't expecting
it. Got close to him. He's like, man, back up, man, back up.
But it just shows, even like the mixed kid with all the choices. He had a lot of choices, apparently, from a wealthy family. And he's choosing all bad stuff. What's making him choose these choices? So nothing is guaranteed one way or another.
Well, I mean, the kid definitely said he had options, but he wasn't focused. He was just on the party.
And it was
life.
Interesting because even when the older kid, I forget his name, was explaining like all the troubles.
I think his name is Jay.
Maybe it was Jay. Yeah, when he was explaining all the troubles that everybody had, he never talked about that character. You know, the mixed kid. he never mentioned any of his problems because I don't think he really had any.
No, he just said that he was focused and they had shared dreams together, but then all of a sudden he stopped being focused.
Yeah.
All he wanted to do was party and get high all the time.
For no reason. Like, they explained, like, when he revealed his parentage, I was like, wow, okay, this is not what I expected you to say.
Right.
Yeah.
But okay.
But he was using the N-word like it was going on.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. In the beginning of the movie, I wrote it down. I was so irritated. I was like, okay, I'm trying to roll with this, but if they keep going in this direction
Jonah, you got a little bit of a pass. The guy, yeah, he's technically, you know, he could do it.
But after the rent-a-cop scene, they got a little better. Because up to that point, they were using it like every 30 seconds. Boom, 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 boom. It felt like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Okay? But then they kind of scaled back a bit.
It didn't bother me. I just feel like that's how people talk, bro.
No, it is how people talk. It is how people talk,
and it's like teenage kids.
But I didn't know that kid, and so I thought it was a white kid. Like I couldn't see him enough. You just heard his voice, and then you just saw him briefly, and I was like, man, is this a white guy just saying this? Like, because even the other guy was like, man, I don't think you can say that, bro.
I like the little Scoobles game they played too.
What game?
The Scoobles, where you go like. You choose between.
Was nasty.
That was hilarious.
No, that was.
That's like something that guys do. Bro. That was hilarious.
So you're gonna rape your mother? That was.
It was. It felt really realistic. Those were good lines. Like Jonah Hill did a good job writing it. Like he didn't make every character. They didn't have too much dialogue. It was the perfect amount. They said what they would normally say in a conversation.
You just watch.
You know, he wasn't trying to write eloquently. You know, Tarantino does that very well. And I'm not saying that Tarantino's bad. Obviously, he's not. But it was just a normal conversation. He does very good with conversations. Just people hanging in a room, what they would talk about, how random it is. And it felt great.
This was a fly on the wall type movie. You're just a fly on the wall watching these
things. Slice of life, man. It's just kind of you there, like in this time period for a little bit.
Like I said, my only real reservation is kind of the ending because it ended so abruptly. But even sitting here talking to you guys, I like it more and more. I think this movie was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, when I left off, I thought the movie wasn't. I was like, okay, it's a good movie, nothing fantastic, decent for his review. But as time goes on, like I think I kind of like the movie more and more.
Yeah, once it ended, I was like, but wait, where are they? I missed them.
Yeah,
like I wanted more.
It was a pleasant.
Are we
going
to the mid-2000s next? Like, what's going on?
Was it a bad movie? Was it a great movie? It was a nice slice of life movie. The thing that made the movie exceptional is all those kid actors, they really nailed it. They really played their parts excellently.
They did.
You thought you were just watching their lives. You had no idea if they were taking any direction of any kind.
Yeah.
Okay, you just, like we were just watching.
Yeah.
Hey. Two guys, bunch of kids on the playground.
And I was worried about that because, like, I wanted to see the movie because it seemed interesting. But I, like, when it showed the trailer, like, I kind of didn't care. It seemed kind of interesting. Like, I might enjoy it, but, like, I don't know.
Same here. It wasn't necessarily on my list. It's like, I was like, I might see this movie just because it's skateboarding. It looks interesting. But I'm glad that I did.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything bad to say about the film. I don't really have a critique. I kind of like it more and more that I think about it. I like the suddenness of the plot. I like the characters' reactions. I like the shooting of the scenes. I like the music. The soundtrack was good. I don't know, Dad. You kind of nitpick. What do you like about the film?
Well, it was a good slice of life movie. I never would have picked to see this movie. I would have read a synopsis about the movie or a summary about the movie. I probably would have never watched.
See, that's why we do
now this podcast. Now that I've seen it. It's a good movie. I don't know what category to put it in.
It's an indie film.
It's a nice art movie. It's a very good little slice of life movie. definitely worth seeing over the submarine movie.
Yeah, if you had to choose this week, absolutely see the
mid-90s so far. Halloween and Hunter Killer.
And if it should come on Netflix or something, you definitely don't want to miss it. You want to definitely make sure that you see it. It's worth seeing. Not something you really want to see with your kids, but it's something to take you back a little bit.
You can't see this with kids. Absolutely not.
You can't see this movie with kids?
No.
But how old is kids? I'm talking about like teenagers here.
No.
Wait, what?
Trying to give them a blueprint?
Are you crazy?
Are you kidding me?
Y'all some old folks with kids, man. I don't know what's wrong with you.
You don't forget how you were?
Huh?
You were a pain in the butt.
First of all, I was amazing.
He was a pain in the butt.
I was amazing. Never stop being amazing.
I love how you judge yourself. Nah. This is a throwback film.
I think this movie's PG-13.
I don't care what it's rated. It's not a movie you should take kids to see.
It can't be PG-13.
I mean, what else do they have?
I mean, they can't be. First of all, one character's name.
It's rated.
It's totally
rated.
The one character's name. You can't even
I forget.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's literally.
Okay, so maybe this is not for the kids.
Nowhere near.
Man, I was.
But I think it. I think
it'd be one of those movies I'll
hey,
put on.
You know what it is?
Okay.
It's a seminal movie that each of us in our different three generations can relate to.
Yeah, I said that earlier.
Three different parts. As kids, as fathers, and well, you're still single, and as a single man, you're the most recent to that actual action. But yeah, we can all relate to
it. I'm the only one married out of your children.
I know. But Chris wasn't like that this much. He was, he was when he got to that period, yeah. But yeah. I think you guys can really relate to it.
I mean, yeah. Like I said, this film was very... I could relate to it a lot. There's a lot of scenes in here. Just like growing up, being a kid. The brother calls, going to the rooms for the music, finding friend groups. And yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah. So It's all very relatable.
That older brother, though, he kept his room looking correct. Everything was
clean. It was tight,
wasn't
it?
He
was clean.
He had his hats in one spot. His shoes were lined up. He had little things next to each shoe to clean them.
Yeah,
he was taking care of his stuff.
He had hooks for his hats.
I'm not gonna
lie.
It reminded me of Brandon's room growing up. I was like,
my room was not that correct.
Brandon had like his things like organized completely, everything in its place. His music, like it's to a point. Like I would look at a CD. Like a similar situation, and Brandon would know. I would look
at
the CD.
That's right.
Like
that's
why. That's just like.
That's why Sid reminded me of you too. I could hear him yelling, "Joshua, don't touch my stuff!"
Man, I'll be running out in the hallway getting beat. That first opening scene.
Nah, I didn't hit you like that. Like he was beating. He was beat. He was punching him. I didn't beat
man,
you.
Man,
like
I
that.
Had. I have three older brothers. Man, you guys show.
But we never. I never hit you like that. Like he was.
I get mad when they hit you like that.
Nah. I mean, I hurt you a little bit. But you know you gotta do it where the bruises don't show.
What are you talking? Are you remembering the bing bag?
Yeah, but I didn't intend. That's because okay. So
I was my nose was bleeding. What are you talking about?
Because I thought the beans were gonna block the punch.
So no, we're going back to I never hit you like that. So
I didn't intentionally.
He put a bing bag at him like over my body and started punching me through the bean bag. And like the beans moved out of the way, so there was just like leather between my face.
But in my mind, the beans were going to muffle the blows enough where he wouldn't. But then I realized later, I'm on top of it; it's moving.
Say it's a bean bag, but there are these little pellets, the styrofoam that move.
Yeah, it's just
it
like
moved out of the way a bit much. He's all right though; he's fine now.
I mean, I survived, man. But
I just let you run down the hall, jump on the back, go on, kill him.
No, you used to do that. You don't remember that, do you?
I do remember that.
I remember my friend Jerome did something to you, and he was hanging you upside down.
Yeah,
and you did a sit up and punched him in his
That's my boy.
I remember that too. Because he got mad, I was like, you gonna do this?
Yeah, he was like, whoa, we didn't expect it. Yeah, that was yeah. You were a tough little one. I mean, you used to get on Chris all the time. You used to jump on his back and like punch him.
But Chris would just laugh.
Chris would love it.
Chris would just laugh the whole time.
Chris was torturous, man.
Chris would laugh. You get too serious over there, Brandon. And Joshua would be trying. He's like, I'm gonna.
I get serious
you.
After certain times, man. I can't help
you
it.
You get serious so quick,
man. I'll be minding my own business,
where
y'all.
Where do you think I got it from? You over there like don't. Hey. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Knock you both out.
You're doing it right now.
While those fries cold.
Yeah. Throwing cups. Don't bring me cold fries.
Don't bring me no cold fries.
Breaking glasses. My fries are cold.
That was ridiculous.
You don't close the bag, son. You leave it open.
Leave it open. Don't make them soggy.
It's soggy. No. Yeah, that's
you have to learn the rules.
You didn't believe in soggy fries.
Did not believe in soggy fries. Take it back.
See,
get
then
it
if
right.
I'm like, well, okay, man, just go ahead and get your fries yourself. He'd be like, no, you got to learn.
You got to
learn. Go back. Get it right.
I still don't learn. I still don't know.
You still know how to get it right.
I
you
don't
know how to get it right.
I don't.
Yes,
nah,
you do.
We don't know.
You know how. You know how. You know how to do it. Both of you do.
Well, anyway, so that's it, guys. But we hope you enjoyed everything. So next week, We are going to see if I remember correctly.
I got it. Bohemian.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, and we're going to see the Nutcracker as well.
Oh, yeah, Nutcracker. That's what it was. Yeah, so we're going to be doing some more stuff. Don't worry, guys. We're not planning on missing another week. We should be fine.
Consistent. Also, I might. I mean, this is if I might.
Whoa, wait. Don't.
Wait, is it Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, it's next week.
That's next week. Well, what was the other one?
The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. No, yeah, but I want to say that's going to be kind of a little bit of a surprise. I don't want to tell everybody what that is.
All right.
There is another one we talked about, but it's going to be a good week, and we're trying not to miss anything, so hopefully everybody will be here. Everybody will be here, Dad.
Hey, God willing, the creek don't run.
And we'll see everything. We'll talk to you
I'll
guys.
Be here.
It's starting to get, this is when the movies are starting to get really good, right? So this week is when stuff's
You're
getting...
You're going to be here if I tell you.
This week is when things are kind of taking off. Everything. It's going to be jam-packed all the way to the end of the year. There's a lot of really big movies everybody wants to see, so...
Yeah, and we're going to try to get all the blockbusters, the major ones that you guys want to see. So, I mean, Creed 2 is definitely on the list with the Grinch and stuff. So, I mean, stay tuned for next week's episode. We're going to let you guys know what's coming up next. But we got a plan to make sure we cover all the big ones for you.
Yeah, so, but with that in mind, that's our show. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Josh. And thank all of you out there for listening. Review After Watching can be found on Radio Public, Stitcher, iTunes, and all other podcast services. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on your preferred one. Or, if you love what you hear, subscribe to us on all of them. And hey, don't forget, we want you to be a part of the show too, so join us on our website, reviewafterwatching.com, and send any comments, questions, suggestions, or corrections directly to us by clicking the Contact Us button. We would love to hear from you. And while you're on the computer, why not open up a new tab and give us a follow on Twitter at _RawPodcast. With that, we are out of here. Josh, send us off with some of your patented words of wisdom.
Kick, push, and away we go.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I got no wisdom today. Brush your teeth.
This has been an Audio Mind production.